going to invite the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. And so if you would join with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to share the bread of life, to share the word. I pray that you would not only anoint me to teach accurately and clearly, to minister life to your people, but we invoke his presence so that each ear and each heart can hear and understand what you have for us specifically as individuals and as a family. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs chapter 24, and we're going to begin with a couple verses that will sort of give us a nice little foundation for this series. And I probably will not finish this series this month, but we'll go into October a little bit. But I guarantee you, if you stay tuned, you will learn some good stuff that'll help you. Proverbs chapter 24, notice verses 3 and 4. Proverbs 24, 3 and 4. It says this, "Through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall all the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches." Now you might think, oh, that's nice, Bill, but what does that have to do with your subject of family? Well, it has everything to do with it. Because here it's telling us that through wisdom is a house builded. And the word builded means erected, built, or repaired. But the word for house is a Hebrew word, bayith. And bayith does not mean house, physical structure with four walls, windows, and doors. But rather, that Hebrew word means family. So through wisdom is a family built or repaired. By wisdom is it established, and by knowledge shall all the chambers be filled with good stuff. The bottom line is, God has given us instructions that we can follow to build our families so that our families are not just together, but they're great, they're good, it's precious. And so there's a means to the end. And God's Word gives us the wisdom to get there. Now, follow along with me. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. And this is just an introduction. Proverbs chapter 2. It's nice having a microwave right behind the pulpit. You can warm your tea up or anything. It's great. Proverbs chapter 2. Notice verses 6 and 7. Proverbs 2, 6 and 7 says this, "For the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly." In other words, God has reserved sound wisdom that you can count on. It stood the test of time, it's been proven, and it works. And he's laid up that wisdom for the righteous. Now, who might that be? If you're in Jesus Christ, you've been made the righteousness of God. And God has reserved, laid up in store, wisdom just for you. Now, my role as a pastor is to help share that information with you so that you can not only know it, number one, understand it, number two, but apply it, number three. Know it, understand it, and apply it. It's one thing to know something, quite another thing to know how to do it. Are you all with me? There are a lot of guys who are a lot more eloquent than me, know the scripture better than I do. They can quote scripture left and right. That's nice. But my job is to take these bits of wisdom that are found within the pages of this book and teach you how to use them like a tool so that you can build your family, so that you can repair your family if need be, and so you can do it God's way. Are y'all with me? And this is a subject that touches all of us, because all of us are a part of some family. And I don't care what your family situation is. I don't care if you're single. I don't care if you're widowed. I don't care if you're divorced. I don't care if you were an orphan. I don't care if you don't know who your daddy was. I can find you in this book. I can find you in this book. I don't care if you were abused as a child. I can find you in this book. And I can teach you how to use the tools that are in this book to build your life with sound wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. You'll not only know God's Word, but you'll understand God's Word, and you'll know how to use God's Word. Y'all getting that? Not just know it, but know it, understand it. See, the book of Proverbs says, get wisdom, but with all you're getting, get understanding. All you're getting, get understanding. Why is that important? Because if you don't understand spiritual things, you're not going to use them. You're going to be like a lot of other folks who go to church every Sunday, got a big old family Bible tucked under their arm, and live their life defeated. Families all jacked up, and they don't know what to do. Everybody say jacked up. See, I'm trying to get you awake here this morning. We're going to have some fun. But I don't want you to be offended by anything that I share. I'm not talking about you. All right? Everybody say that. He's not talking about me. Okay, specifically. But we're going to talk about some things that have to do with family, and I'm sure it'll get close to home. You're probably wondering what that lamp's doing there. I'll show you in a minute. Okay, turn with me now in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to the New Testament. Colossians chapter 1. Remember where we started. By wisdom is a family built or repaired. So we're going to share the wisdom of God with you. Colossians chapter 1. We saw from Proverbs chapter 2 that God gives the righteous wisdom. Out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Watch this. Colossians chapter 1. Paul, writing to Gentiles now, not Jews under the law, but Gentiles, says this by the Holy Ghost, beginning in verse 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So now we have a New Testament correlation. Paul the Apostle is praying for these Gentile believers. These people used to be heathens. Everybody say heathen. You know what a heathen is? Heathen means it's just plain simple. They don't know God. They don't know God. You know, I mentioned I was in Lancaster last month and Pastor Martin was there. And one time when he was here, he ministered to us out of the Psalms a statement that the psalmist made that said, ask of me and I'll give you the heathen for your inheritance. Talking about those who don't know God. Well, have you ever heard the expression, be careful what you ask for? Well, you start asking for the heathen, you start sharing Jesus with people, God's going to send the heathen to you. And when the heathen, that is people who don't know God, come to you, don't be shocked at what you find. Pastor Martin shared, he's got a guy in his church who's been delivered, saved by the blood of Jesus, but you know what his previous occupation was? Hitman. He killed people. There's another fellow in his church who just got out of prison. this guy spent most of his early days in detention camps and prison. And so here he comes to church. He don't know how to act. You know what I mean? He sees a nice, godly, good-looking sister, and he dropped a bomb right in the middle of the congregation. Oh, I'd love to blank, blank. And all the saints are shocked. Heathen! You don't know God? And so Pastor Martin had to pull him aside. Like, look, brother, you don't talk like that. You know, that's disrespectful. You don't do that. See, instead of booting him out, give him the knowledge of God. Y'all with me? Amen. All right. So, notice this again in Colossians chapter 1. Al, could you turn that fan off for me, please? Since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will. That's what you know. and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Not only what you know, but what you understand and what you can do. It's one thing to know what the Bible says. It's another thing to understand it. And then it's another thing to have the wisdom to do it. So my job is to teach you how to use the tools that are in the book. All right? Now, God has given us wisdom so that we can build our families. Now, here's a great little illustration. And I hope this works. I haven't opened this box yet. See this nice little floor lamp? Supposed to be 5 feet, 11 inches tall. Looks pretty, doesn't it? But oftentimes, when we endeavor to do something in life, you get into it and you find that it sure doesn't look like it was supposed to be, does it? Then you get in there and you open stuff up and you find, man, that sure doesn't look like that thing on the box. Sometimes life is complicated. Got all these little parts. I know what that looks like. That must be the bottom. Well, now I've got a job, don't I? I've got to figure out how to put this thing together right. Now, I can do one of three things. I can wing it. Anybody in the house named Jethro? Okay, no Jethros. I can wing it. I can ask Uncle Jethro, or I can read the instructions. But all too often, we jump right in the middle of something. We don't even know where the instructions are. And we try to put our families together. And there are some people who were so smart, so intelligent, that even though it comes with instructions, I don't need that, brother. And so what happens is we get involved in life and we think we got it all figured out, or we ask Uncle Jethro and we come up with something that... Don't y'all laugh at my lamp now. Well, you know, I guess if you plug it in, it would light up. I don't know what happened to the light bulb. I had a light bulb. There it is, way back here in the corner. Are you with me? And so this is what happens when we don't read the instructions. We end up with something that sort of looks like that. And we wonder why it don't work right. We wonder why it doesn't look right. You know, I don't know about you, but that's not a lamp I would put in my living room. How about you? Isn't it a whole lot easier to just go find the instructions and do it right? Hey, the instructions are right here. They're right here. Now, by the way, Mary does our books. I did not spend a lot of money on these props this morning, okay? It didn't cost a lot. But sometimes life is messy. Sometimes it's complicated. Sometimes there are little pieces we're not sure where they need to go or how to fix them. Well, read the owner's manual. Read the instructions. God's word gives us wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. And so throughout this series, I'm going to take the time to touch upon a lot of different subjects so that you can understand how to build a family right. And you don't necessarily have to be married or be in a situation where you're contemplating marriage. But if you're 14 or 15, remember these things that I share with you. They'll help you down the road. Are you with me? If you're 75, remember these things that I'm sharing with you, because you can share them with your grandkids. If you're 30 or 40 or 50, you'll learn some things in this series that you can put into practice in your own life. Because not only through wisdom, knowledge, and understanding is a family built, but that same word that's translated builded means repaired. God can work with you to straighten stuff out in your family. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd rather have a lamp that looks like this than to have Uncle Jethro's mess. Okay? And see, a lot of times that's how we learn. Because that's all we know. Uncle Jethro's mess. Or it could have been Mama's mess, or Daddy's mess, or Grandpa's mess. Are you with me? Or it could be your own mess. It doesn't matter. If you listen to me, I can help you out. All right? If you listen to me, I can help you out. Now, here are some of the subjects we're going to talk about during this series. Number one, we're going to talk about what love is. Remember that song by Tina Turner came out in the 80s? What's love got to do with it? Do with it? I'm going to teach you what real love is. There's another song that was released much earlier, and I forget who sang it. Love's Not a Feeling. See, a lot of us think love is a feeling. You know, you see some fine sister saunter across the way and go, ooh, I'm in love. No, you ain't. You don't even know her. You don't even know her. But, Pastor, she's cute. You better do better than cute. You're going to end up in a mess. We're going to talk about what love is. We're going to talk about what submission is. Submission is not a dirty word. Most people don't understand what it means. Most men like that part. I did the wedding yesterday for a couple. The groom is a real estate broker. The bride is a nurse at St. Vincent's Hospital. And so after we did the ceremony, one of the family members came up to me and said, say that again. He said, you need to say about how wives need to obey their husbands. And I looked at him, I said, you're about to get in trouble, brother. You know, I wanted to say, you better go sit down, you go get hurt. But I don't know if his wife was sitting out there or not. And then there was another couple that were sitting right where you were sitting, Juanita. And they were a same-sex couple. And when I was sharing about, you know, they were actually here for the rehearsal on Friday night. And so I was rehearsing the vows and everything and, you know, wives submit to your husbands. And I could see the face of the ones who, you know. So I stopped right at the rehearsal. I said, submission's not a dirty word. See, she's not submitting to the Word of God. And so it's offensive to her, like I care. But anyway, we did the wedding yesterday and Alonzo helped me. And I was reading, and I only did bits and pieces for the rehearsal. I didn't do the whole thing. I just wanted everybody to know what to expect. When I did the actual wedding ceremony, I looked down at this gal, tears running down her face, just crying like a baby. See, God's Word is powerful. And God has designed things a certain way, and it works. So we're going to talk about love. We're going to talk about submission. We're going to talk about how to communicate effectively. Everybody say communication. Communication. Boy, that's a biggie. Too many families don't have good communication. And so what happens is walls are erected, barriers are erected, and crazy stuff happens. The other thing we're going to talk about is a three-letter word, S-E-X. Everybody say sex. S-E-X. I tell you what. Sex is God's idea. He created sex. So He knows more about it than anybody. So the Bible has a lot of principles that we need to adhere to when it comes to the subject of sex. We're also going to talk about money, personal finance. There are three big areas where most marriage relationships encounter difficulty. And more couples divorce because of one of these three. Sex, money, or communication. Now, it used to be the sex thing. Not so much anymore. Now it's the money thing. And so if you know how to handle those issues, you can avoid those big areas. We're also going to talk about training your children. And we're going to talk about God and covenant. Everybody say covenant. All too often, people don't understand covenant. That's why they get in trouble. They don't understand covenant. And I'm not going to get into it this morning, but man, covenant is powerful. Covenant is powerful. And when you understand how powerful covenant is, it can propel you into a life that's exciting and full of joy and without fear. But most people don't understand what covenant is or how to walk in covenant. Are you with me? See, I was married to my wife for 32 years. I had a covenant with her. And so, when I was 22, 23 years old, and a fine-looking sister got in my face, 2:30 in the morning, one night, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and told me she wanted to go to bed with me, and nobody would know but us, didn't move me. First thing she asked me, Ron, was, "Are you married?" I said, "Yep." She said, "Are you happy?" I said, "Very." She said, "Well, we could sleep together. Would you know, I want you." I said, "That's nice, but it ain't happening, Jack." Turned her down. I'll get into that later. Why? Covenant. I understand what covenant means. All right, turn with me now in your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. We'll just get into it a little bit. Mark chapter 10. I want you to see something here. Okay. Mark chapter 10. Now, let me preface my comments with this. When I teach on the family, it is not for the purpose of helping you find a husband or a wife. Okay? Listen, single ladies, and everybody, I want you to grasp this. We often make a mistake in the body of Christ by pushing people into relationships that they're not ready for. You with me? See, young ladies, you were not made complete by a man. I got one amen. Yes. Young guys, you were not made complete by a woman. Now, I'm not against marriage. Are you kidding me? That's I love it. But you're incomplete. You're complete, that is, in Jesus. In Christ. And until you become fulfilled in Him, you will never be ready to be fulfilling to somebody else. Does that make sense to you? Let me say it a different way. Instead of trying to find the right person, why don't you concentrate more on trying to be the right person? Because if you become the right person, finding the right person is no big deal. But if you were incomplete in yourself and your emotional makeup, and you are looking for something to make you complete, you'll find that person, that female, that male, and realize that you're still incomplete, and now you got a problem. And you're thinking, "Oh, I thought, you know, Princess so-and-so was going to make me feel better about myself," and you don't feel any better about yourself. You're still incomplete. So you are complete in Christ, first of all, okay? Just because somebody is unmarried doesn't mean, "Sis Tate, we got to hook them up." You know what I mean? See, that's what we used to do in church. Hey, I'll tell you what happened to me. When I first came to Erie, I was 21 years old. I just graduated from college. I was single. I had a job. I had my own car. I was hungry for God. And I almost said the name of the church. I went to church with my great aunt. And everybody was trying to fix me up. I wasn't looking to be fixed up. I wanted to learn about God. I was hungry for God. And so the way I met my wife was the pastor's daughter invited me to dinner to see if I was dating anybody. Because she had a niece going to Temple University in Philly, and they were trying to find a guy for her. They didn't know me. And so that's why they invited me to dinner, and I almost said her name. The pastor's daughter said, "Oh, well, bring a date if you like. Want to see if I was going with anybody." I wasn't going with anybody, but I was going that day with somebody. And so I first asked Polly. I said, "Polly, you want to go to dinner?" She's like, "I got to go back to school." So Peggy walked by. I said, "Peggy, you want to go to dinner?" She looked at me like, "Get out of my face, Jack. I don't want to go to dinner with you." I said, "So-and-so invited me to dinner. The only thing that saved me was she knew so-and-so." She said, "Really? She invited?" I said, "Yeah. Would you go with me?" She said, "I know her. I haven't seen her in years." "Sure, I'll go with you." Rest was history. But that's the only reason I asked her to go, because I didn't want to go by myself. And so I told you that story so that you would not make the same mistake a lot of people make. just because somebody's unmarried, you got to hook them up. Don't do that. They may not be ready for that yet. Are y'all with me? Okay? If you're unmarried, there's no deadline to meet. There's no rush. Take your time. Don't you marry somebody and you don't know them. All right? I've been there, done that. I've had people come to me. When I was in ministry in St. Louis, I was an associate pastor. And I remember one young lady in particular. She was an airline stewardess for a major airline. Lived in St. Louis, but she flew out of Los Angeles and was home in St. Louis maybe 3 days out of the week. And she met a guy at another Word Church. Say Word Church.
Word Church.
Knew this guy 6 weeks. She's getting married. And I was over our singles minister's home, and that was sort of the gathering place for all the single folk. She said, "Pastor Bill, did you hear so-and-so's getting married?" I'm like, "What?" I said, "Really?" She said, "Yep." I said, "How long you known him?" She didn't want to talk to me anymore. I said, "Come on, how long you known him?" "About 6 weeks." 6 weeks? "Yeah, but he goes to so-and-so's church." I said, "6 weeks? Is that enough? You take your time, girl." She didn't. Married this guy. Word Church. Guy was a freak. The guy was perverted. The guy was so twisted. It just boggles the mind when you realize what this guy was doing. She didn't know him. So I said that for this reason. Take your time. Okay? So what I'm sharing with you is not information that's geared to help you hurry up and get married. Y'all with me? I just want to share this with you so you can have knowledge, understanding, and know how to use these tools. All right? So you may not use them this week, but you will use them in your life. Now, let me share something with you. Mark chapter 10, and we'll start with the first verse. Excuse me. Notice what it says. "And he arose from there and came to the coast of Judea by the further side of Jordan, and the people resort unto him again. And as he was wont, he taught them again. And the Pharisees came to him and asked him, 'Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife?' Tempting him. And he answered and said to them, 'What did Moses command you?' And they said, 'Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away.' And Jesus answered and said to them, 'For the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this principle or precept. But,'" notice this expression, "'from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain," or two, "'shall be one flesh. So then they are no more two or twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder.'" Now, we live in a culture and an environment that would attempt to redefine what a family is or what a couple is. But there's a biblical principle or law that you need to understand, and it's called the law of first mention. That simply means whenever you find something mentioned the first time in the Bible, it normally, and in this case, always reflects God's original intent. And He is the manufacturer. And so we can see Jesus here quoting from Genesis chapter 2. And that's when God formed a woman and brought her to Adam. And Adam said, "She's bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called Isha, for she came out of Ish. Woman, for she came out of man." Then Adam said this, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh." That was God's original intent. So if it was God's intent for a man to be with a man, then we would have found that in the book of Genesis, but we don't. He made them male and female. Male and female, not male and male, not female and female. "Well, Pastor Young, you're a hater." No, I don't hate anybody. I'm just telling you what the manufacturer's original intent was. Are you with me? Well, you're a homophobe. I'm not a phobe of anything. Homophobe means you're afraid of something. I'm not afraid of homosexuals. Are you with me? I love them just like anybody else. Jesus died for them just like anybody else. What I'm sharing with you is the manufacturer's original intent. Well, that means you hate gay people. I don't hate anybody. I mean, when are we going to have the guts to stand up for what's right? I'm just telling you what the manufacturer's original intent was. Well, I got gay people in my family. Well, love them. Love them. Share the love of Jesus with them. Love them with all your heart. Don't beat them over the head with your Bible. You're not going to gain anything like that. You just chase them off. Are you with me? I don't care if they're involved in that kind of lifestyle or fornication or anything else. You love people. Now, when they know better, you know, I said something on the radio. Anybody hear the radio broadcast this morning? Uh-oh. Y'all heard what I said, didn't you? I made a statement on the radio. I said, look, you know, I've said it before. I said, if you're involved in leadership and you're involved in ministry and you're sleeping around, committing adultery or committing fornication, do us all a favor. Get out. Just quit. Go do something else. Didn't I say it? Now, what you need to do is repent. Are you with me? And so, you know, there are certain principles that God has laid down where if we'll follow them, we won't end up like this. All right? We'll have something beautiful that we can set in our living room and it'll work. Amen. Are you with me? Now, I want you to notice a couple things from Mark chapter 10. Notice this. From the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Notice verse 8. And they too shall be one flesh. Everybody say two. Notice it doesn't say three. Or four. Or five. Or 15 or 20. God's original intent was for one man and one woman to become one flesh. Not two men, not two women, but one man, one woman. Now there again, your lifestyle, do what you want to do. All right? But I'm just showing you what the manufacturer's original intent was. One man, one woman, one flesh. They too shall become one. Not three, not four. Now, when you vary from the manufacturer's original intent, that's when you start to have problems. Are you with me? That's when you start to have problems. And so, if we want to avoid a mess, let's do it God's way. Now, you might say, oh, Pastor Young, but I've already been there, done that, messed up. Well, I'm glad you're here. Are you with me? Because my job is not to condemn you, beat you over the head. My job is to help you in the future. My job is to help you correct that, perhaps, that needs corrected. Y'all with me? And it always works great when you do it God's way. It always works great. And so they, one man, one woman, shall become one flesh. Now, when you understand that that's God's original intent, that was His plan, then you can expect the blessing of God on that kind of union. Are you with me? There again, I'm not sharing this so that you hop out and get married next week. Don't do that. All right? Take your time. There's no deadline to meet. You might say, well, Pastor Young, I already rushed into it. I married him. Well, you there now, baby. I'll help you through. Are you with me? Now, remember what the question was. The Pharisees came to Jesus and said, you know, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife? Talking about divorcer. And Jesus said, what did Moses say? Well, Moses did it because your hearts were hard. Well, that should never be the case with a believer, with a Christian. Hard-hearted. I realize they're out there. There are people who don't want to hear God's word. They want to do it their way, you know, because their way they think is right. Well, that's fine. You can have a jacked up lamp if you want it. Just don't bring it in my house. You know, I don't want it because I know there's something better. There's something better. Now, I'm sharing this with you because we live in a culture. We live in an environment that is so sexually charged that it's causing us a whole lot of problems. It's caused some of you a whole lot of problems. There again, I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to help you. All right? So we can take these tools, learn how to use them, and either build or repair our families so that we can have something that is really, really genuinely blessed and is designed and works the way God intended it to. All right? And so we have to do that by sharing godly principles. So those are some of the things that we're going to talk about. And I'll tell you this, and I'll close with this. The first time I did a marriage seminar was in 1985. There was a minister who, unfortunately, had gone to be with the Lord. He was scheduled to do this marriage seminar at a Bible college in St. Louis. And so the directors of the Bible college asked me if I would step in and fill in for this guy and do this marriage seminar. So I did. And I've been doing them ever since. I haven't done them as often, perhaps, as maybe I should have. But here's what I used to do. At the end of my marriage seminars, you know, I'd go 2 days and I'd teach all this good stuff. And then I'd leave one session open for questions and answers. I quit doing that. You know why? I always got the same questions. I always got the same questions. And it was always posed to me in such a way that one of those people, I mean, I'd have sisters ask a question, her husband sitting right next to him. Well, what about this? And the guy likes to die. I mean, he's like, oh, you know, he looks like the, you know, the Wicked Witch of the West, you know, when water was thrown on her. And he's like, ah, you know, I'm like, oh, man, painful. One time I did one here in Erie, and the same question came up. And I'll get to that question later on. I'm not going to tell you what it is. But same question came up. And there was another couple seated to the side. And woman asked that question, and this woman turned around and looked at her husband, put her hand on her hip, said, you know, and she's glaring at this guy, you know, and he's sitting there trying to pretend like she ain't looking at him. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh, that poor guy. Oh, that poor guy. And so I may do a question and answer thing at the end, but I'm going to deal with the questions before anybody asks, so it's out of the way. You with me? You guys looking forward to this? It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. But let me share this with you. God has a plan for your life. It doesn't matter if you're single, married, divorced, teenager, you know, grandma, grandpa, great-grandma, great-grandpa. God has a plan for your life. And here's the thing I want to leave you with. God cares about families. He does. He cares about families to the degree that in the Old Covenant, He found a man that He was able to call His friend, His covenant partner. And He identified so much with this man that He called Himself the God of Abraham. Then He called Himself the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So God loves you so much that He's willing to identify with you. If you'll learn to put these principles into practice, then God can say, I'm the God of Juanita and Juanita's kids. I'm the God of Steve and Jackie Mooney. Y'all with me? There's some real biblical truth here if you'll grab it. All right? I'm the God of Greg Carter and Greg Carter Jr. Amen? Is your son's name Greg? Yeah? You call him Junior? No? Oh, middle name's different. All right. But God wants to identify with you and your family. Not only that, He wants to bless you like He blessed Abraham and his family. But we can walk in the blessing if we'll learn how to use the tools and follow the principles that He's laid out. Amen? All right, that's it. Let's stand, would you? Now, if you miss any of this series,